Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio,
on WGR.
Sal Capaccio joining us here as we get ready. Hey, you can join Nate Geary at the Legends and Stars Sports Collectors Expo November 1st and 2nd, only at Batavia Downs. Tons of memorabilia, tables, and autographed guests. Kids 12 and under getting free. Full list of guests and details at legendsandstars.net. Make a note of that. Jeremy and Joe here on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday. That's presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And joining us on the Western Hotline is Mr. Sal Capaccio, back from Baltimore. Darkness falls. Sal, we knew 20-3 at home in primetime with John Harbaugh as their head coach, and now it is 21-3 after they really dismantled the Bills in a game that very little went well for the Bills.
Yeah, for sure. The Bills are a pretty good team in primetime, too, but not last night, right? I mean, that was just a failure on both sides of the ball, coaching, playing, everything. Tough, tough night in Baltimore. A lot of people around my age, older, will remember, guys, during the Super Bowl years when the Bills were very good, there was almost every year they would go to Pittsburgh or Kansas City and just get demolished on a primetime game. It was just like completely, like, way different than anything you'd seen for most of the other games. Reminded me a lot of that last night. Now, of course, I was younger. I wasn't covering the team, but just the kind of night where nothing seemed to go right and you come back licking your wounds.
Yeah. Where do you want to start, Sal? Offense, defense? Actually, let's start with the injury report. The Barnes Firm injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. We had a couple scary moments during this game, from Josh Allen to Connor McGovern. Yeah. So let's run through that quickly before we get to the game and get some calls in.
Okay, so Josh Allen obviously was on the turf and got looked at briefly after that trick play. He finished the game, obviously. So, I mean, they got taken out late because of, you know, just they put in subs. But everything appears good there. Same play, Dalton Kincaid got hit. You know, a bit of a cheap shot, I guess. People are saying I didn't see everything unfold. I haven't gone back and looked.
It was almost like a punch to the face. It looked like a pretty cheap shot.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. So thank you. But he turned out to be okay. Taylor Rapp was the only official injury by the end of the game that we had for a player that did not return. That would be he was being evaluated for a head injury. I don't think I ever got word of an official concussion, but he didn't come back, guys. All right, so you can take from that what you will. We'll see if he's in protocol. And then the other thing on McGovern, real quick. So lots of confusion last night, as you can imagine, on the Connor McGovern situation. He came out of the tent. He had his helmet on. He went in the game. He had missed his required play, so that means he was cleared. Then they told him to get off the field. We didn't know what was going on. I'm standing next to Melissa Stark. She doesn't know what's going on. We're asking the Bills. They don't know what's going on. Sean McDermott's having conversations with the officials. After the game, McDermott said it was the Bills' understanding he was cleared, he can go back in the game. Well, he was cleared, but for some reason, that word did not get to the official from up top. So the official didn't know that he wasn't cleared, so he's doing his job, saying you can't be on the field. So obviously a breakdown that the league needs to look at for how that happened, because he okay. was cleared, but yet the word did not get to the official.
Also, let's mix in with the injury report. The prognosis as of right now, like we're thinking, how close Terrell Bernard, Taron Johnson, how close do we think they are to returning?
Well, and I can understand that people really want to know after last night, right? I mean, like, mm-hmm. that was a performance last night where you say you really need Terrell Bernard and Taron Johnson back, not to mention Matt Milano, where we know Milano's still out long-term. I mean, Terrell Bernard practiced last week. He was limited. He was in a red jersey, but he did practice. I think that's a great indication that maybe he'll be back this week. We'll see about that. Taron Johnson did not practice last week at all. We'll see if he gets back on the field at all this week and what that means. The fact they didn't put him on IR means they're probably confident he could miss less than the required four games, but this would be the fourth game if he misses. So it's possible still, but I would think Terrell Bernard is at least in a position to maybe see if, you know, he's able to go next Sunday.
And that might be a breath of fresh air for everybody, Sal, because, well, just on stemming from what we saw last night, because I don't know if there's any window dressing about it. We knew coming into the week that the Ravens were a team that liked to attack the middle of the field. And Sal, it felt like their plan, maybe from the get-go, was just, we are going to attack the Bills' backup linebackers and make them look like backups.
Yeah, they did a really nice job of that, and the Bills did not respond very well. And you could see the limitations that the Bills had in that area of the field last night. Right away, the first play of the game, Baylen Specter told us afterwards that it was, you know, he's got to be better at getting people lined up in communication. Now, he could just be being, you know, taking the fall, so to speak, as the middle linebacker. You know, and that's what you do, but, you know, that's what he said. And then we saw Dorian Williams in coverage on Justice Hill. That's just a mismatch. And that's something I was worried about a lot going into last week against the Jaguars, but it didn't show up because the Bills were on them so quickly that just they got out of their game plan. But the Ravens were able to execute their game plan. And yeah, you're right. It wasn't just the middle of the field, though. It was through the air. It was on the ground. Look, they started to understand things a little bit as the game went on. Did a lot better. We saw the sack by Specter. Dorian Williams made a couple of plays. But it was just too little too late by that point. You're right, Joe. They came into the game saying, we're going to attack that area. It wasn't just them, though. It was a complete breakdown all over. But yeah, that was certainly is something that you see last night and you say, hey, when are you getting these guys back? Because that was obviously not the kind of performance that you're confident in going, you know, long term with who you had on the field last night.
Is it pretty simple, Sal, for you defensively? Like, they gave them light boxes. Like, the Bills are a team, one of the fantasy community sometimes refer to this as they funnel. They want you to run the ball, right? They don't want to come out of their base defense. And, of course, with Taron Johnson off the field, like, you know, things change. But to go to three linebackers for a bit of time, like, whenever that happens in a game, I feel like things have gotten away from them because they want to invite the run. They always feel fairly confident that they can keep a team reasonably under control, and they lost control of this game in the run department.
Yeah, you know, Jeremy, I think even more simple for me is they just got out physicaled, really, and that's something that's going to resonate with them this week. It's the first game that they were the team that was less physical, and the other team out physicaled them, and the line of scrimmage was moved, started up front. And then when that happens, you have less opportunity and room to make plays on the second and third level. But when they got there, those guys didn't make the plays they could have made either. So, yes. And then when you're just scrambling to figure something out, try something, right? Hey, what we're doing is not working. And look, I mean, that's an adjustment, but it didn't matter, right? People say all the time, why don't you make adjustments? They made an adjustment. They went to base defense, but it didn't matter. They put Nicholas Morrow on the field as a third linebacker. But at that point, you're trying whatever you can do to just slow them down, figure out. And that's a down and distance thing. They went to three linebackers in certain, you know, run situations when the Ravens would bring in certain personnel, they would do that. So you're trying to match them. You're trying to do whatever you can to slow them down. And at times, they started to feel like they were doing that here or there, and then you'd have a big play and you'd have a big breakdown. You'd have something happen on offense to give a short field, obviously. So, yeah, I just think it was a breakdown all over. It was coaching, not matching the game plan. The Ravens had a better game plan. They simply had a better game plan on both sides of the ball, and they executed the game plan better. So you can go from coaching to playing. It doesn't matter. Just a night that did not go the Bills' way in a lot of ways.
We'll get some calls in and continue talking about this with Sal. Mo in New Jersey is up with Sal. Hey, Mo, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thanks, Mo.
Yeah, definitely not a happy victory Monday. I've still been used to calling the past few weeks. But, you know, not a lot went right last night for the Bills, obviously. And the thing that really, you know, that I noticed the most, right? Like, the offense is all out of sorts, defense is all out of sorts. But I felt like the offensive game plan going into this game was nothing like that we've seen from any of the previous games. Now, obviously, it's a different opponent. Maybe they saw something differently. But we saw absolutely none of the pre-snap motions that we got used to seeing the first three games. Like, you know, you could tell a lot about what a defense is going to be running, you know, by doing that motion, zone, man, whatever it is. But I felt like I saw absolutely none of it. Our offense was absolutely stifled the entire game. And it just seemed like they had 13 guys on defense every single time Josh Allen went to pass, you know, drop back and pass. You know, I'm not a big guy. Like, I'm not going to go watch the old 22 or anything like that, but I would love to understand why we didn't do some of the pre-snap stuff that we did the previous games. And what were they doing defensively where, you know, Josh was just, you know, scrambling for his life and was throwing the ball out of bounds, seemingly every other pass play.
Yeah, I'll address both those. I have to go back and look how much motion, Mo, they didn't use, they did. I will say it is a little harder in a really loud stadium to run pre-snap motion. You can do it still, obviously. But there are some communication things you have to work through when it comes to motion. But you're right. It looked like there was less of that going on than what we'd have been used to. Sometimes that's also game plan, and maybe they should have done it more in this game. Maybe they dialed back on purpose, right? That could have been it as well. As far as, you know, pressure on Josh, just this was the first game where, yeah, the pressure didn't hold up. I mean, the offensive line didn't hold up in pass protection. The backs were not good at blocking. They brought different kinds of pressure from different kinds of ways. And it just seemed like the Bills were not ready for that. Again, loud environment, stadium, silent clown. Those things can matter, no doubt about it. It's not an excuse, but I think it just adds on to, you know, making it more difficult. But they certainly weren't ready for a lot of the things that the Ravens threw at them. And Josh was under duress far, far more than we had seen so far through the first three games.
Under duress, and Sal, it's also a game where even, you know, their successful plays noted, the wide receivers were not separating in this game. I mean, Allen, his big play to Shakir is one where he creates and rolls all the way. The two good plays to Coleman were both covered well, but those are back shoulder throws. Like, those are nice plays. But it seemed like a game, six targets to Mac Hollins, one catch, MVS. I didn't even notice that he dressed. I had to ask you that he did on the sidelines. Thank you for writing back. Like, it was a real rough go for the receiving corps in general.
For sure. MVS, by the way, I went back and looked. I just tweeted out the snap counts a little while ago before I went on with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
He actually was on the field for 25 snaps. Now, he did play in the backup, you know, when the backups went in, so I'm sure some of that was then.
That was only eight for Trubisky, though, so that would have only been a little of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so he was on the field for 25 snaps, it says.
Yeah.
But you're right, Jeremy, not even a target. I don't think he's on that sheet. The larger issue is what you said, though. They could not get separation, especially on the outside. And the things that have been working so far through three games, the middle separation, you know, as Mo just said, like, why was Josh under pressure quickly? One of the things was they were physical with Khalil Shakir right away. They put Marlon Humphrey on him. Marlon Humphrey's a physical player, as we see. And I would also mention, going back to your Barnes injury report, Khalil Shakir got hurt on the first drive, I think it was. And he had an ankle evaluation. They wrapped it up. I don't think he was the same the rest of the game. I think that the Khalil Shakir would have been a bigger part of this game, but I think it was tough for him to get going after the ankle, and they were being physical with him as well. And then Dalton Kincaid, as we know, it looked like this was a date game where they wanted to get Kincaid and Shakir going a little bit, and they targeted Kincaid. But if you can, you know, bottle up the middle of the field a little bit, and then your outside guys can't get separation. That was an issue last night. On the Mac Hollins, I don't know what's going on there. I mean, Josh twice had a throw to Mac Hollins where it was behind him. Is he expecting Mac to sit in the spot? Mac Hollins is expecting Josh to throw it to him as he's, you know, making the in cut. I don't know exactly. It's just failure of communication on that. But not separating the outside is something we talked a lot about this offseason. And I'm telling you right now, teams are going to see that on film. And I know the Jags played man-to-man, and the Bills did a nice job on that. But if teams feel that, you know, they can cover those guys up on the outside and they can't beat them, the Bills are going to have a tough time. They're going to have to find a different way to do that. Or, I mean, you can just, let's see if they can, you know, over the next couple of games, figure out a way to say, okay, you know, we have to be a little bit better there.
Well, the name that I'm thinking immediately about, Sal, for this and relating to last night's game is, I thought that was something Curtis Samuel was good at in his NFL career before. Like, he is someone you can use in a bunch of different ways, and the Bills have been lining him up in the backfield, it feels like, as much as sometimes he's at receiver. But he has been someone that has been able to separate in his career, and I just, maybe it's the toe still, or maybe it's just the way they designed on using him, because he's not really just lining up and running routes like a traditional receiver.
I agree, Joe. I don't get it. I mean, MVS had more snaps than him, right? I mean, you look at it, think about that for a second after what Jeremy just said. MVS was on the field for 25 snaps, Curtis Samuel, 22 snaps.
So he was fifth.
I don't know either.
He was fifth in snaps amongst the receivers last night.
I don't know either. Is it still the toe? Because, I mean, he's not in the injury report every week, right? I don't know what is specifically going on, why he's not more involved. You're right. Like, he's a guy that I think you can use in that manner a little bit more. It feels like they're just kind of using him to be the more of a gadget guy, I guess. Like you said, put him in the backfield, create a couple mismatches. Look, that's fine. You could do that. I think he's a good wide receiver too, though, right? And he can line up at the X or in the slot and try to beat somebody. And of course, we all saw the trick play last night, and I know that I'm sure there's a lot of debate. I haven't listened to you guys or your callers this morning on it. And,
we have some callers ready to ask about it, so you want to just hold that thought for one second.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
Scott in Rochester, ready on the trick play. Hey, Scott, good morning.
Hey, guys. So there's a time and place for a trick play. That was the absolute worst call in that situation for a myriad of reasons. Number one, you had all the momentum. The Bills had all the momentum. The defense had actually made a couple stops. You know, things were going your way. Number two, it got Allen killed. And number three, if you score there, it's a one possession game. Perhaps if they get a touchdown there, maybe they go for two. Now it's 21-18, and everyone knows how Baltimore gets as the game gets closer to the fourth quarter and the other team starts coming back. So we'll never know. The Bills, that play was the absolute turning point of that game, because it took all the momentum from Buffalo's side and gave it all back to Baltimore. Whereas if Buffalo scores on that drive, Buffalo has even more momentum. It's tightening up. It's maybe it's 21-18, and you're going into the fourth quarter. And maybe you can come out ahead in that game. But because of that play call, that was all squashed. Game over. So I was just curious what you thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a couple things here, if I can go on this first real quick, Jeremy. So big picture, I agree. Not the right time. I don't mind mixing those things in once in a while, but I agree. Like, they were down, and they had been moving the ball. They just had two big stops on defense, and they get the ball from their own 19, and they're moving it, and they get it out to the Baltimore 44-yard line. Keep doing what you're doing. It's 2nd and 7. I mean, getting first down, just grind it back in the game. The Bills were doing a nice job of just grinding back into the game, and I think that's a high-risk, high-reward play, right? The reward is great if it scores. Like, wow, what a play, but the risk was too great. Here's my biggest issue with the play. You kind of tipped it off by putting Josh Allen at wide receiver. If you're going to run some sort of trick play, like, to me, the minute Josh Allen lines up at wide receiver, all the ears are up for the defense. The antennas are up, guys. They know, like, something's happening here. Yeah. This is not a normal play, right? Like, and you want to tee off on the quarterback if you get a chance, and they certainly did on that. But as soon as you line up in that formation with Josh at wide receiver, everybody in the defense is ready for a trick play. Like, to me, if you want to run one, which wouldn't have been the great time anyway, you got to do something different than that, than putting Josh Allen at wide receiver and letting the defense know something different's coming.
Right. Lining him up like that is almost like saying, hey, here comes a trick play.
Yeah, you're almost kind of announcing it. Like, because really, Sal, yes. I don't know if you've seen, like, I tweeted out the All-22 film of it, but basically, I don't know that there's a Raven that is caught off guard anywhere. Like, if Allen does even get the ball off and Kyle Van Noy doesn't strip it, it's going to a double-covered Matt Collins down the field. Like, I don't know there was a single Raven that was like, oh, what happened here? I'm out of position.
Yeah, I actually, when When teams do that to the Bills,
it's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Like, you'll be watching a game sometimes, and you'll see a wide receiver go line up outside, and the running back comes in. Like, I'm like, oh, I can hear the sidelines. Like, everybody's alerted. Like, hey, watch this. Like, they're ready for something, right? Like, and you're like, okay, go ahead, do what you got to do, because what's going to happen here? Is your quarterback going to run deep? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
there's a limited number of things you can even do in that situation, because then, or if you don't want him to touch it, you're playing 10 on 11 there. So I didn't like the situation to call it. I more so didn't like the call, because I think there is, as the caller said, a time and a place where you can do things like that. And by the way, after the game, Sean McDermott addressed it and kind of said the same thing. He said him and Joe Brady will have a lengthy discussion about it. He said, I'm sure it's a call that Joe would like back, and it's a call he would like back as well, meaning Sean himself. Yeah. So I don't think Sean McDermott was necessarily thrilled by his own words there, it sounded like, with the timing of the play or the action, the actual execution or formation or whatever of the play.
Sal, we were robbed of a seventh potential target for Mac Hollins on that play. Sal, Tyler Bass misses another kick.
Yeah.
So, kicker to the practice.
He nailed a 50-yarder. Yeah, he misses, what, the 48?
Is this kicker to the practice squad this week, you think?
I don't know, guys. It's tough. I don't know. Is there somebody that's going to be better than him next Sunday, right? I don't know. I'll tell you what McDermott said after the game. He was specifically asked about it. You know, he's had unwavering support for Tyler, and he said we still support him, and he brought up the 50-yarder and said, hey, you know, nailed the 50-yarder. That was good to see. But he also acknowledged that you got to make the other one. It was a big kick. You know, they could have brought him back within two scores. Not sure if it would have mattered necessarily the end results of the game, but you keep the game at three scores by missing that kick. I don't know. I think about it, Jeremy. It's not that, like, you of course can make an argument that, like, you can make a kicker change. No doubt about it. I just don't know if you're going to get any better from who you could bring in, to be quite honest.
Yeah, there's not really a...
And I don't subscribe to the theory of anybody's better, right? That's not true. Not true that anybody's better. Like, you if you go out there and have a 45-yard attempt that's in a critical situation, Tyler Bass is still probably your better option than a lot of guys that you could put on the practice squad tomorrow.
I want to bet we'll be talking about kickers at the trade deadline.
Maybe.
Just a hunch.
Maybe. Sal, before we let you go, fourth down calls. It from my eye, it looks like the Bills are wavering on what they used to be here. I mean, week one against Arizona, he says, it's fourth and three. We probably would have gone if it's fourth and two. In this game, there's a fourth and one at their own 39 on the opening drive. They go for it. There's a fourth and one from their own 39, down 11, and they kick. They punt from the 50 on fourth and two. Like this, McDermott has been pretty good with this stuff. One of the best in the league in terms of going when you're supposed to. And I feel like the last month, we have seen a significant drift about vibes. I mean, he's just playing his gut here at this point.
I don't know. I mean, I think they've gone for the first fourth down each of the last three games, right? Like, early in the game. Like, you know what I mean? In Miami, they went for that one in that drive. And I think in Jacksonville as well, they went for another one. And then in this game, they went for the first fourth down. So I think that there's a clear plan to be aggressive early in the game. And then maybe after that, things start to waver, as you say, Jeremy. I think last night, you probably just like, I mean, you can't get anything going. And you just, I guess at that point, you're just trying to, you know, do whatever you can to keep the game, you know, going as long as you can and not lose it right there. But sure enough, I mean, yeah, you can make arguments either ways. I think he's been aggressive this year, including last night early in the game. But, you know, as the game went on, there's certainly some arguments to be made. And he did address, you can go back and listen, he did address a couple of the calls on fourth down and why they didn't go for it. But, you know, I think last night just everything from coaching to playing and everything, you could question a lot of what happened last night for sure.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Thank you, Sal. The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up at 10 o'clock. You'll be hosting that and taking calls.
You got it.
And we'll be listening. Thanks, Sal.
I will be, absolutely. I'm sure people will want to talk about it.
All right. That's Sal. Coming up next, Chris Brown. He had the call of the game. He'll join us as we roll along through this Buffalo Bills football Monday. Not a victory Monday, this Monday, a football Monday. Jeremy and Joe with you. Chris Brown, when we return. Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hard-working men and women.
Back to pass, looking to his right, pocket collapsing, pumps, rolls out to his right to buy time, looking for anybody, heaves it, he's got Shakir deep at the 20, caught, 15, 10, and tackled at the 4-yard line. It's first and goal, Buffalo, as Allen makes a huge off-script play.
Josh Allen rolling to his right, always dangerous. Joe had the stats. Best quarterback in the NFL on that throw. Nobody else does anything like that.
He's the only one that even... the stat was he's 6 of 7 for 118 yards and 3 touchdowns within a yard of the sidelines, and everybody else is 1 of 16.
There you go. So, one of the positive plays, there were not that many of them. We'll talk about the game with Chris Brown, who had the call from Baltimore last night. Chris, good morning. Not the Sunday night many Bills fans had hoped for.
No, not at all. And, you know, there was an early tone setter for the Ravens, and they kind of took advantage of what the Bills' defense has been largely founded upon, and that is play nickel. And they took advantage of aggressiveness. I think we understand that the Bills' front is an attacking, penetrating type front, and they lured them right in to a trap block. And the hole was gigantic on the first play from scrimmage, and they basically lured them in with their own aggressiveness. Ed Oliver got trapped, Patrick Ricard, who is without question the best fullback in the business. You can talk to me all day about Kyle Juszczyk, but for what the Ravens are and for what they do, he is essential and dominant. And they basically had everybody blocked up. And by that time, Derrick Henry and his buildup speed to almost 22 miles per hour was in the end zone 12 seconds later.
Yeah, the story is Baltimore had planned on calling that play if they got the look they wanted, and they got it on the first play and hit for 87 yards. You know, tone setter, the Bills' defense throughout the game, Chris, they had answers in spots, but ultimately, even Lamar Jackson, like they didn't get much pressure on him. He was comfortable in the pocket, and of course, Henry, you know, if you can get the Bills, I said this to Sal earlier, if you can get the Bills to get into three linebacker sets, you're definitely winning, because that's the Bills changing what they ultimately want to be. And add in the fact that the linebackers you have are not exactly the best linebackers that you might want for a game like this.
Yeah, it was interesting because I watched last week's game for Baltimore against Dallas, and on the first two drives, they looked very similar in Dallas to what they did last night. And Lamar Jackson attempted one pass on each of the first two drives in Dallas. You get to the end of this game, he has 18 pass attempts. I think if the Bills had a chance to do it over, they might force Lamar to throw the ball and go a little bit more unconventional for what their bread and butter is. Look, I'm not knocking the coaching staff. I understand you go with what you feel your strengths are. But when your strength is not working, either due to personnel or due to poor execution or poor play calling, sometimes you do have to change your spots a little bit when you have a team that is an outlier. And the Ravens, in a league that is a passing league, are unquestionably an outlier and a very dangerous one. So I wonder, you know, if the Bills see this team again at the end of the season, there's a very good chance they will. Do you play nine in the box and dare him to throw? You have two outstanding corners in Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford. Maybe trust them more and help the area of your team that needed it last night, and maybe play 8-9 in the box at times, not full time, but sometimes you may have to change your spots if you have an outlier that trumps what you do best. And it's, you know, it's 43 games since they lost this badly. That game was a lot alike this one last night. I mean, Jonathan Taylor goes for 185. Carson Wentz throws the ball 20 times. And they have five touchdown runs from Taylor and win the game going away 41-15. So it's the same kind of recipe that Baltimore used last night.
One thing that will be different for Sean McDermott, the coaching staff, and, you know, leadership council, I mentioned this earlier too, that, you know, they haven't lost a game like that in 4 years, but this team isn't that team, right? There's a lot of roster turnover. So, you know, for Sean McDermott, I liked his comment about he wished the flight was longer so they could address more things, or he could dig into more of what needs to get better. You know, this is a real, I don't know, a shot of adversity for this team, whether it's humility or whatever it might be. Like, to get beat like that on national television, it doesn't happen to the Bills an awful lot. And when it does, as you know, you pointed out 4 years ago, they certainly respond. And it'll be interesting to see how this group does.
Yes, I think if there's one thing that Sean McDermott and his coaching staff have done exceptionally well over the years, it's course correct. When they have a game like this, they course correct. I mean, there was a stretch, even in his first year in 2017, they lost three games in a row, and that included another blowout loss.
Saints.
To the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, like 190 on the ground.
Yeah, and again, same problem, but they course corrected, fixed it, and, you know, they end up getting into the playoffs at the end of that season, and that roster was nowhere near what this one is. Now, this one is still a little beat up. And look, we have to remind ourselves, too, that are they playing with the top two safeties that they wanted to play with at the start of the season? Maybe one of them. Are they playing with the two linebackers that they wanted to start the season with? Probably not. And that's no knock on those players. They've done an exceptional job stepping in and filling the void. But we do have to remember that as well. And sometimes that can compromise what your play calling is as well. So I think we have to look at the hand the team's been dealt. And look, that happens to every team in the league. There's teams dealing with crazy injuries with big-name players, and the Bills are no exception. How you are able to adjust to that and respond will be critical going forward.
What about defensively? Like, I guess some of the saving grace, right, Chris, is that eventually they're going to get guys back, maybe even this week with Bernard and Johnson, we'll see. On offense, like, what was the most surprising thing for you that they struggled with? Because they couldn't really get a lot going down the field other than the Allen play deep to Shakir. Maybe that was not stunning, though, because we've wondered that about them. If the short game's not there, can you push it down the field? I wonder, maybe for you, if even the line was this, because it felt like Allen was under duress a lot of the night.
Yeah, guard to guard was a problem last night. And look, I like Buffalo's offensive line a lot, and there's a lot that they have done well, but they were flat-out dominated at the line of scrimmage. I mean, and guard to guard was the chief issue, especially early. There was a lot of penetration in the run front. They were very active, and they were winning, the Ravens were, defensively. And this is without their starting nose tackle. So it was interesting because Michael Pierce is a good nose tackle in terms of holding two blockers up, but he's not a penetrator. He's kind of a stand-and-grind guy, and then he lets the other guys around him penetrate. The alternative last night was now you had three penetrators on the interior instead of just a hold-up guy, and that presented a world of problems for Buffalo's offensive line. And when you have that penetration, running backs have to alter their point of entry in the run game, and Josh Allen has to pull his eyes down from downfield because he's got to find a way to avoid a penetrator on a pass rush. And there were also a handful of times where there were free rushers coming.
Yeah.
I thought there were protection errors because you might see a guy come free. It's just a good, it's well schemed by the defensive coordinator on the other team, and you have a free runner, and then it's Josh's job to avoid that guy. There were free runners far too often last night, and sometimes two. To me, those are protection errors in the pre-snap call. So it was a cavalcade of stuff that went wrong, and you don't see it that often where it goes that bad for the Bills, as we've said. It was just not their night, and it was from pretty much the jump, and it was very hard for them to swing momentum back in their favor.
Chris Brown on the Western Hotline. Chris, thanks very much. We'll chat on Friday as we eventually turn the page to Houston this week.
All right, that sounds good. Turn the page. Let's do it.
All right. Thanks, Chris Brown. You're going to hear him, of course, on One Bills Live later today and through the week. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550. Monday night doubleheader tonight. Miami and Tennessee.
Okay.
This is where I would say if you have not seen Will Levis play, you should do that.
Here we go.
Because he's wild.
It'll be fun for sure.
Also, I need Washington games flexed into primetime.
Yeah.
If you're not seeing Jaden Daniels, you're missing out. The dude is legit. Also tonight, Seattle and Detroit, which could be it's a good game. Two of the best teams in the NFC so far to this point. Vikings move to 4-0. That second round
the
pick.
Vikings, and they play the Jets next week.
Yeah, they do.
Oh wait, is that game in New York? Because how I hope it is. How funny would it be? Oh, London, right?
Yeah,
London.
It is London.
I was gonna say Darnold going into New York and just amazing. Like, oh, you guys think you've got a quarterback?
That'd be so great.
You might have had one.
Well, it's a week to week league.
Yeah.
And earlier, a few weeks ago, I said to you, the Jets are cooked. They cannot win. Their quarterback is a game manager, and he can't move.
He might be injured.
And then they
too.
Won a couple of games, and I thought, like, okay, maybe they can be good. I'm back to the first one. He can't move. He can't move. They can't win. Their season is over. The Jets. They're going to play
the
a bunch
season
of,
is they're, over. They're, I don't think they're great, but, man, I'm not.
Their season's over. They're playing out the string. They're going to lie to themselves for a while.
Uh-huh.
They can't win. They can't win.
Then that means the Bills are winning the AFC East.
That's right.
Like cruising to it.
Yes.
All right.
803-0550.
I mean, real quick on this. We said going into the year, one big advantage the Jets had over the Bills was they have a way easier schedule.
And they just lost to Denver.
Right. If you're losing to Denver, you're just giving away your advantage of having the easier schedule.
Yep. Tough one. 803-0550. If you're on hold, stick with us. We are back with open phone lines the rest of the show here on WGR.
They schemed up well, yes, because they executed, and we really didn't even touch the running back. And, you know, they ran what we call a wham against our three technique there, and we got to be in better position. And I know we've done that before, so that's something, one of the things right away we'll learn from.
First play of the game. Ravens say they were looking for that look on the first play. They got that look and ran it 87 yards. Big
man.
One. Yeah.
Watching
22
it back,
miles
everything
per hour.
Everything went well.
22 miles per hour.
Just real quick on him. He is
amazing.
He's amazing, and he's unlike anybody maybe ever. Because, at least in recent times, he has, you look at mileage, there's like a rule of thumb. I think it's, you get to, is it 2,000 touches? Like, every running back, when they get to like 2,000 touches, it's just like, that's it. Like
college and pro?
College and pro. Yeah. Just, that's the mileage on a running back where it's like, oh, that's usually it. Henry blew by that like 3 years ago.
You know?
And is still, like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He had like 1,000 touches at Alabama.
Yeah.
And he's still 10 years later looking like this.
He's a Hall of Famer. He won't be the last Hall of Fame running back. He'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And
I think so, yeah.
I'm also glad he got out of Tennessee, because I'm not glad it happened against the Bills, but like, good for him. You know, you get to see him with a contender down the stretch here, and he's going to be a problem for a lot of teams. He was a problem for the Bills last night in a big way. Open hour when we return, 803-0550. Tim, Michael, thank you for waiting patiently. We will get right to your calls on the other side if you can hang with us. And if you're not with us, 803-0550 to be a part of Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.